Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Jack Spear. President Biden spent this afternoon surveying damage brought by Hurricane Ian to Fort Myers, Florida. As NPR's Lexi Schapitl reports, the storm created an unlikely, if temporary, partnership between Biden and Florida Governor Ron DeSantis.
Governor DeSantis has clashed with Biden on everything from COVID to the economy to immigration. But the two set aside political differences as they met with Florida residents affected by the storm. Biden said he and DeSantis have, quote, worked hand in glove, despite their different political philosophies. And DeSantis thanked President Biden and FEMA for their support.
And I think we've worked as well across state, local, and federal of any disaster that I've seen.
Biden also extended Florida's federal recovery funding for an additional 30 days. He said rebuilding the areas hit hardest could take years. Lexi Schapitl, NPR News, the White House.
A Latino civil rights group is stepping up its efforts to find a woman who was allegedly involved in flying a group of migrants to Martha's Vineyard last month. NPR's Joel Rose reports the organization said today it's doubling a cash reward for information.
The League of United Latin American Citizens, or LULAC, wants to find the woman accused of luring dozens of migrants onto flights from Texas to Martha's Vineyard last month. She was recently identified by the New York Times and other outlets as Perla Huerta, a former combat medic and Army counterintelligence agent who had been living in Tampa. LULAC's national president, Domingo Garcia, says the organization is doubling its reward for information to $10,000.
The question is, where is Perla Huerta? We want to find out.
The sheriff in San Antonio is investigating the incident. His office has not yet named any suspects or persons of interest in the case. The flights were paid for by the state of Florida. Governor Ron DeSantis insists they were voluntary. Joel Rose, NPR News.
Iranian media report officials have summoned the UK ambassador as Tehran continues to accuse the U.S. and Britain of engineering widespread protests following the death of a young woman in police custody. NPR's Peter Kenyon reports Mahsa Amini died after being arrested by Iran's so-called morality police.
Videos posted online show Iranian schoolgirls chanting death to the dictator and other slogans, despite official attempts to give the impression that protests over Amini's death have essentially ended. The state news agency quoted Iran's president as hailing the prophetic guidelines of Ayatollah Ali Khamenei as being essential to ending the unrest. Universities are reportedly key focal points for Iran's security services as they continue a violent crackdown on the demonstrations protesting the arrest and death of Amini, who was reportedly detained for improper attire. Peter Kenyon, NPR News, Istanbul.
This week started the fourth quarter rally, lost a bit of steam on Wall Street today. Investors appear worried on Friday's jobs numbers. The Dow was down 42 points. The Nasdaq closed down 27 points today. This is NPR. North Korea has launched two more ballistic missiles today as the U.S. redeployed one of its aircraft carriers near the Korean Peninsula in response to another recent launch of a missile over Japan. In a statement, South Korea's Joint Chiefs of Staff says the launches were made 22 minutes apart from North Korea's capital region. It said South Korea has boosted its surveillance posture and maintains readiness in close coordination with the U.S. Japanese Prime Minister Fumio Kishida also confirmed the North Korean missile launches, calling them, quote, absolutely intolerable. The European Union has approved its eighth package of sanctions against Russia today in response to Moscow's illegal annexation of four Ukrainian regions. NPR's Eleanor Beardsley reports the sanctions include a price cap on Russian crude oil and refined products.
Russia is one of the world's largest oil exporters, between 7 and 8 million barrels a day, 60% of which used to go to Europe. The EU is phasing out imports of Russian oil, and officials say the oil cap will further reduce Russia's revenues while keeping global energy markets stable. The latest set of sanctions also introduces new export and import bans covering Russian steel and crucial components Russia needs for its aircraft fleet. EU officials say the package will deal another blow to Russia's tanking economy and exacerbate problems for its industry, which is already struggling to produce everything from cars to tanks, missiles, and planes. Eleanor Beardsley, NPR News, Paris.
Crude oil futures prices, meanwhile, moved higher again today. Oil up $1.24 a barrel to settle at $87.76 a barrel on the New York Mercantile Exchange. I'm Jack Spear, NPR News in Washington.